You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. Visit us at mashthosebuttons.com.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Double Tap. This is Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. I am your host, Crash, a returning host. I know I came back last week, but I'm trying to go for a personal best and actually showing up 2 weeks in a row. Of course, with me, the usual suspects. To my left, your right, we got Static G in the building. Stage right, your left. We got Meza in the building. What's going on, guys?
Sup.
Another week. Of course, we've got something that we've been alluding to. I'm really stoked for it to be happening. Of course, this is actually. Before we get into that, this is podcast number 214. Of course, for those that are new and listening, thank you very much for pressing play, getting swindled into actually listening to us for about an hour. For those that are returning, giving us two quarters for another credit this week, we appreciate you coming back. So I kind of don't want to wait that much more because I feel like we've had this guest ready for like weeks on end. The brother is very busy. He's got his own boba shop to run. He's got an incredible tournament series that he also runs on top of other real life stuff that he probably has going on. But please, I would like to make sure we guys give a nice welcome to, of course, Tong, the brother that doesn't sleep. He's here and he's live in the building.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Tong? What's up, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Welcome. I appreciate you coming on, man. Like I said, we've kind of been wanting to get you in for a hot minute. But like I said earlier, you know, people's schedules are all over the place sometimes. And also my schedule was a little sporadic over the past couple weeks. So we appreciate you just hanging in the cut, waiting for us to come on. So thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Hey, no problem, man. No problem. Definitely busy all the time, but I'm glad I can make time for you guys.
I appreciate it, dude. Shout out to, of course, Florida and the FGC out there, because that is where Tong, of course, is at. Are you more specifically? You like, hold up, you're like in the Tampa area, Orlando. What are we looking at?
Oh, Tampa. Tampa never sleeps.
It is Tampa, straight up Tampa, right? Yeah, I got fam out. I just want to make sure. I got fam out there. Funny enough, I was just out in Tampa about a month ago. I should have visited and said what's up. But regardless, for those that might not be aware, right, because, you know, we got a lot of different scenes, FGC spans globally, right? Got scenes everywhere. For those that might not be aware, Tong, of like, you know, your kind of your history, just can you give us a quick breakdown, like, you know, your kind of history with the FGC and what they can see you doing nowadays?
Yeah.
Or what maybe you've worked on that people might not realize you've worked on behind the scenes.
Sure. No problem. Yeah. I've been around for probably a little over a decade now running tournaments. And, you know, I started off as a player like everyone else, of course. But yeah, I got into the TO game early because I used to own a video game store. So, you know, I would host tournaments and I met the community and I loved it, you know, and I love fighting games. So it kind of worked out. And over the past few years, just been working hard running tournaments. I'm actually the head TO for CEO Gaming. So a lot of people know what that is, of course. I'm also the head TO for DreamHack FGC and Smash events. And of course, more recently, we've been streaming Marvel. So we've been doing a lot of Marvel events on our channel, twitch.tv/TampaNeverSleeps. So, you know, that's all mm-hmm. we've been focusing on really these days since offline events really aren't a thing anymore. I still run online events for DreamHack and, you know, and CEO when they pop up. But for the most part, we just do the Marvel thing right now until offline events come back.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Something that a lot of us are dealing with for sure. But it feels like, I don't know why, but maybe it's because it's just the scene itself of Marvel. When it gets put on the map for something, like everybody sees, because everybody just seems to love Marvel. That's that one game that even if you're a casual, right, like, you know what the game is, right? You know the series, at least in some level, of course, clearly like Marvel 2. More, you know, recently now, technically Marvel 3 has now been out just as long as when Marvel 3 dropped. You know, it's kind of as got long in the tooth as Marvel 2 did when it was around then. But yeah, like the ultimate Marvel versus Parsec, you know, series, right? I think that's what the tournament's officially called, or is it just like, what's the actual title?
You know, we call it Marvel versus Parsec. We call it Tampa Never Sleeps. Right. You know, and then what's in a name? You know, it's more about the event itself. So that's the most important mm-hmm. thing. But yeah, I definitely agree. Marvel is probably the most spectator friendly game, especially for casuals. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of characters they recognize. So you know, it makes for a fun game to watch, even if you're not a huge fan of fighting games per se.
Absolutely, right? Like, even if you don't know, you know, some of the more kind of obscure characters from, like, maybe Capcom series, like, you know, maybe not everyone's played the Phoenix Wrights or don't know who Beautiful Joe is or something. They see, I don't know, Wolverine, they'll see Doom, they'll see Dante, they're like, oh, yeah, that's, yeah, I know those characters. I'm down for that. It definitely does bring like a really interesting crew of people to come out and enjoy it. Like you said, spectator wise, it is just like, I think it is still like the hypest game you can possibly have out there. It's kind of hard to really like find anything else that can bring the hype the way that it does. And it's the thing that's very interesting to me, though, right, is because, you know, we've all been experiencing how 2020 affected everyone, especially, you know, the offline scene. Like, I'm gonna tell you right now, Marvel was the last thing on my mind that I thought would flourish the way that it has online, right? Like, that was I'm keeping it 100, like, I want to say that's your product right there. You taking Marvel and putting it on the, you know, using Parsec, which, you know, became way more prevalent over in 2020, right, for the ability of remote work and such. You kind of then built this new product and kind of gave new life to the game and to the scene itself, where it was, not to say it was dying, but it was definitely like, you know, it wasn't at its heyday anymore, but you were able to like kind of bring it up. Like, was that the intention? Like, when you started just doing it online, were you just like, yo, Parsec might be the way. Let's try that and see what happens and just run it.
You know, honestly, I'm probably just as surprised as you are. I mean, when I started doing this, I didn't think that it was going to blow up. I didn't think, you know, we'd be having events with, you know, hundreds of viewers every week. And, you know, and mm-hmm. I didn't expect Twitch Rivals to happen for Marvel 3 with, you know, 30,000 plus viewers and, you know, so many things that happened throughout the past year for Marvel 3. I mean, it was definitely, you know, like you said, it's no disrespect to the game. You know, it was definitely a, you know, more dying out than, you know, especially with so many new games coming out. So many games that people are, you know, interested in now. So it's just one of those things where, you know, when we started, it was just something for us to do. We're like, hey, you know what? Everybody's streaming. Let's stream something. Well, what games do we play? Well, we still just play Marvel 3. So I guess we can just stream that and see if anybody watches. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started.
That's how it came out.
Not gonna lie, I'll be honest. Like, when I joined, I think it was at the end of the summer last year. I love Marvel. Part of the thing I think is that once we all taste that little sweet victory that we've had in our Marvel heydays back in the day, we sort of want to get in on it. And sometimes, for me personally, I was kind of like, hush, hush, my homies, they don't know about this. I'm going to go enter. And then, like, I had to face Jason Kiddo first match, and I'm like, and on stream on my first one, and I'm like, but... Even before that, I think Marlin Pie was doing like some of the streaming as well on Parsec, and that's when I had a laptop, but I was still able to do it freely. Like, people that have small computers can even get into play. You don't need a huge rig. So, like, is it? I know that you have the amateur brackets going on. So, like, is this sort of are you seeing a lot of influx of a newer player base as well?
Yeah, we're actually getting quite a few new players. There's a lot of people who've always spectated in the past, and then of course over the past few years, you know, like we said earlier, it's there's a lot less players. There's a smaller scene for the game everywhere you go, there's not many scenes where you go, so it's just one of those things where people didn't have an opportunity to play against other new players or people of the same skill level. So I feel like, you know, with the Parsec, it's the entire East Coast, or, you know, pretty much the entire country has become one local community, which allows for, you know, amateur level players or newer players to get involved and, you know, not feel like they're, you know, getting run over. So it's definitely a lot of new players I've seen, a lot of people I've never heard of before. And I've been playing this game since it came out, and I've gone to a lot of events and I've met a lot of players, and some of these guys, I've just never, ever heard of. And they're coming into the scene now, and they're playing, they're getting better. It's really exciting to see, honestly. It motivates me, you know, as a tournament organizer. So
like, for me, that's the thing that I find it crazy about, like, the ingredients that you were able to put together. And you know, just because you were just like, hey, you know, let's stream some games that you love, right? Like, let's stream something that we like. What would they all like, right? You ask the homies, like, what do we feel like doing on a Friday night? Or Tuesdays, right? Isn't this when the tournament usually happens, on Tuesdays?
Fridays.
Or my trip
Fridays.
Right,
Fridays.
Fridays. Okay, it is Fridays. Right. I'm thinking about our own schedule. Sorry, dude. I got a lot of schedules on the mind.
No worries.
Yeah, so on Fridays, right, you were just like, yo, what could we play on Friday stream? Have a good time, right? That was really the end goal, was just like, let's just have a good time, let's stream it, you know, whoever watches. But the thing about it, right, it's like the ingredients of, you know, the effects of 2020, where everyone's kind of like locked up right now. They want an outlet. More people are gaming nowadays than anything else, right? Like everyone picked up gaming over 2020 because we needed something to do, right? We're getting cabin fever. Like, damn, can't socialize, can't go out, can't do anything. All right, let's be real about it. Everyone's being a gamer now. But the thing that's trippy is that using Parsec, which for anyone that doesn't know what Parsec is, it's basically it's similar to like TeamViewer. It's like a remote solution that allows you to control a computer that is located somewhere else. The secret sauce in is that it can give it to you on like high frame rates, like 60 frames per second. So it allows for things like animation and work like that, that needs like high frame rate to be used. On the other end of that, for us gamers, it also lets us share our local libraries with someone that could just, you know, connect to it and play, right? It'll see a virtual USB controller of some kind. It could be your pad. It could be your arcade stick. And then now it's like, you know, it's almost as if you were playing next to someone locally there. The thing about it that you've been able to do with that is like to kind of revitalize the scene is, like you said, there's newer people that are coming out that maybe didn't have the ability to go out, didn't have a scene around, right, that they could go to actually play. Maybe didn't have the accessibility to a computer, because you don't need an actual, like Static G said earlier, you don't need an actual like high-end computer to make it run. The beauty about it is you can just get a, you know, like a small dummy computer or a really low-end computer if you wanted to, and connect to it, as long as you have an internet connection, because it's being ran somewhere else. You know, now they have access to that without the, you know, the cost, right? The cost of like having a computer and then getting the game and such. It might not be in, you know, someone's budget. So like allowing people to like just be able to Parsec in and play, like that gives them that accessibility that I think just breathed a lot of life into the scene. Also, because the net play on Marvel is not like
trash.
The greatest.
It's so bad. Let's just
be honest. Like, it's not really like, you, no one goes to Marvel to net play. Even when it was active, like, you really didn't want to go online. The people that were just grinding for Grand Cosmic Lord or whatever the hell the final version of the rank system was, you know, they were just doing it to just have something to flex
have the
on.
Title.
Exactly.
Yeah, but nobody
exactly.
would see it.
It didn't mean anything.
The only one who has that title matter. Is Living Legend.
Yeah, the only Cosmic Lord. Yeah, if you had that title, you weren't winning. It was your ISP winning, dog, half the time. But regardless, like that's what I found it very intriguing, man. Is that like these ingredients kind of like came together out of love for the game, which is the best part, right? You know, you just came out of it for just like having some love for the game. Let's do something, and let's see who can watch. But you kind of fundamentally fixed some issues that Marvel actually was getting plagued by.
So I just wanted to state, like, I feel like this is the first time we can actually say, like, locals is a real thing online now. Because I would say, outside of any of the fighting games we played, there's not been an actual local where, you know, there's a present place and someone's running it. And I feel like, you know, Tong has kind of set that up for the Marvel scene more than anything. Obviously, you know, there's other scenes doing, like, Dragon Ball and stuff like that. But yep. He's the first stream that I've seen. And I got to ask, like, what... I know you were talking before, and I kind of like egged you on even more to say do more like lobbies and put up more streams, because I was like, nobody's doing it, right? You were the first one to kind of go, okay, I'm going to have a main stage, I'm going to have a lot, and then I'm going to have the second stage, right? Which is, you know, the main stage is the bigger one. You fight your way up in a sense. How did that like come to you when you were like, oh, I want to kind of run like these local things? How did that like kind of all come together for you?
Oh, I mean, we run casual views, you know, viewer battles and things like that now. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, you know, we just, you know, other people have done that, of course, viewer battles or, you know, player matches on stream or whatever. But, you know, we realized there was a lot more people that wanted to play and a lot more people that wanted to be seen at the same time. And we're just like, how can we put the technology together to put more than one match on, you know? And then, you know, we went to two matches like you were talking about. Now we do four matches on at the same time, and you work your way up to the main scene or the main stage. So it's just something that came about just trying to give people what they want, you know what I mean? And I mean, that's all Marvel players want to do, is they want to be seen. They want to be seen, and they want to be winning.
Yeah, they want to be seen.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, watch me catch this Infinite on this fool on stage. That's all we want. Even if you lose the match, right? They don't care. Yeah.
Come see the tech, you know? Come see my combos.
Exactly. Come see the tech. Oh, I dropped it. It's cool. But the tech was cool, though, right?
Not my neutral, right?
Not my neutral. Just that one piece of tech I've been talking about. That's all I'm here for. You just drop the mic afterwards. All right. So now that we got like kind of a good handle on this, we kind of want to bring it to a section of the show that we have a lot of different viewers from different games. Some people, just straight up haven't had a chance to actually play Marvel. Like some people just, it wasn't in their repertoire. Maybe they like seeing it, watching it more. But to take it to the next step, we have a segment called Why You Should Play Something. So we're going to do that with you, Tom, to kind of break it down. Like, I want you to give us a heads up why you should play Ultimate Marvel 3. Like, what kind of person do you think should sit down and play this game?
that's a tough question. I mean, obviously, the number one reason is fun, right? It's definitely the most mm-hmm. fun game I've ever played. And when I say that, I don't mean just the generic sense of fun. Of course, that exists. But, it really allows you to do what you want and how you want to do it. There's so much freedom of expression when you're playing Marvel. There's so many combinations of characters and teams and assists, and you can kind of play it the way you want as long as you can execute it properly. It is a bit more challenging as far as the execution wise compared to other games, of course, especially how much easier, games have gotten these days. But, there's a lot of content out there for you to be able to, pick all that up. So, I mean, it's just a lot of fun, man. Honestly, it's so exciting. You always feel like you've got a chance with things like X Factor, which some people may not like, but, it's
to this day, still 10 years later.
Yeah. But, it's a part of the game. And like I said, it's a lot of fun. And when it's also a great game to go into the lab with, trying to discover your own tech, your own combos, your own way of doing things. Like I said, other games don't really, give you the freedom of expression like this game does. They're more cookie cutter. Like, this is the combo and this is what you can do. And, you've got to play it this way and you got to knock him down and push this, button because you're +2 right now. And that's the only way to play it, and, that's not the case for this game. There's so many different ways you can do things. So
expression, absolutely, dude, like hitting the nail on the head right there. Like, expression of this game honestly is one of the biggest things that you should, if you are that type of player that is looking for a type of game, this game definitely checks that box off. Character variety, archetypes, outside of like maybe one or two other ones, like, you have a variety of characters, right, that play very differently. So you kind of can't get burnt out on a single way of playing, or just the character select screen itself. You're not limited by that. You could go fun and do other things, like you could do low tiers, right? Your low tier team. What is considered low tier? Really, at this point, honestly, it's like the game. I don't think there are low tier characters, but I don't think there's any characters that you couldn't put together that you couldn't make something that, like you said, could be fun, expressive. You could create a specific way to play because it's not really set in stone. I think that's the beauty in the game, is that it allows you to do that. Well, one thing I want to just note, because like any game that has been out for a very long time, there's just a backlog of tech that you might not be aware of exists. Some of it might be useful now. It might be, a core part of the game. TAC combos, infinites, things like that. There might be some that are very obscure and you don't need to, very precise, like unless you know about it, like getting X-factored and then buffering for a snapback because it's one frame, right? Like there's hella tech that's like there. So if you're ever picking up, this is generally for any new game, you're ever picking up a game new, especially if it's older, it's got a nice history to it. And especially if it was popular, because that means a lot of people were playing, a lot of people were discovering things. There's a whole slew of things you'll end up like needing to learn to just really get a real good understanding, because there are players like, that have not dropped this game. Like that, as soon as the game has come out, like have not stopped playing. And it isn't just like a single person. There's entire communities out there. There's a bunch of people out there, and they're the ones that you're going to seek that are most likely going to show up in tournaments like Tampa Never Sleeps and such, right? That are still grinding it out, that are still discovering things, just have a whole slew of experience with, a lot of situations that you might not be aware of. So that's just one note to put out there. Let me see. I can't say enough combos. The expression you can get off of that. If you were there in the heyday when we were seeing the Doom TACs and all that develop, and then when we finally got infinites, all the building up to that, that's there. There is like a level, would you agree? There's kind of a level of set play though with some teams.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean,
you'll get locked.
Yeah. There's definitely tech that's optimal, but like I said, even then there's different ways to do it. It's just some characters are very good at, you know, at locking you down, and there's, mm-hmm. you know, very few ways to get out of it. But, you know, like I said, that can change depending on, you know, their strategies like Alpha Counter and things like that, that mm-hmm. there's always an answer for something. You know, your team may not always have that answer, so you might have to play a different team. But yeah, there's, you know, there's workarounds, you know, to things like that. So that's what's fun about it too, you know. And even on a super casual level, if you're not in it for competition, you're not in it to even learn a combo, you can play it on simple mode for all I care. You can just be like, hey, I have Wolverine and Ryu on the same team. And, you know, how cool is that? Like, you know, even if you were like 10 years old playing this game, that's just like a cool thing to do, right? Like, you know, Wolverine and Dr. Doom working together.
You mean Wolverine and Ryu and Doom from Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
That's the game they're from.
You mean Marvel
they're from
4?
Fortnite. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, that's right.
Man, infinite possibilities, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, God, no. Yeah. Stop.
what I do like is, and it's something you brought up before, people you may have never heard of, or even people that bring in teams that you've never even seen any of the synergies with. Whereas, like, I just saw you had Spartan Throne, who had won the UK playing tournament that you had over the weekend, and he's using Iron Fist. Is that correct? Iron Fist and Wolverine.
Iron Fist, yeah. Well, he's playing Wolverine, Dormammu, Iron Fist.
So that's a weird ass team.
And even Living Legend is basically top six, top four almost every time, playing Chris Akuma Wesker. And I remember I used to just go online on PlayStation 3 or Xbox and then face this guy. I didn't know who he was. And now he's doing amazing in on TNS because, I mean, it's offline. He can play at home. He doesn't really go to many tournaments. I don't know if he was going to CEO for a lot of the time.
I don't believe so, yeah. I don't believe I've ever even heard of him going to any tournaments.
Right. And even like Milky, Milky's been the one who's been making a lot of the rounds. So there is potential for those that were home players and even, of course, the new players.
Even like Lab Monsters, right? That's the other thing. It's you the confines of going to an offline event or to, you know, whether a local or an actual major, right? That scares some people. Some people are just not built for that. They just don't maybe want to be out there because they just cannot deal with maybe the anxiety of it and such. So like the presence of like being able to have a good net playable game is very important, which is what I think, you know, TNS has been able to provide, which is like super, super important.
Yeah,
like, I cannot stress enough how important that is.
The one exciting thing I feel like is I mean, with Parsec and Marvel, it's bringing together those online players, like you guys said, that didn't go to events for whatever reason, whether they live somewhere, you know, in the middle of nowhere where there are no major events, or it's too big of an expense, or they've got a family to take care of and they've got no time for it. Whatever it is, it's bringing those online players, like, you know, like Static said about like Living Legend, who was primarily an online player. I've never heard of him until he started playing in the TNS tournaments, and he's going toe to toe with some of the best players in the world. And, you know, people that were going to offline majors and, you know, placing top eight. So it's like, it's something, you know, amazing to see to bring those two worlds together.
Absolutely. I find it very interesting because like, I pay attention to very different many, like just games and different communities. And from what I've seen is I bring up Smash because I feel like Marvel's kind of had that Smash effect where Smash was kind of like let go by Nintendo. They didn't really pay attention to them anymore, and they kind of had to fend for themselves, at least in the Melee days. And now we're kind of seeing that with UMVC3, where, you know, there's no companies behind it. It's kind of just the community. And I don't know, maybe you feel the same tone, but it's like the community is driving itself to stay alive to the point where something big has got to happen. So I don't know. Do you think that you're kind of a driving force behind that now at this point where they're going to look to you and say, Tong, you need to do something for us and keep it going?
You know, I'd like to think I play a small part in that, but it's definitely an entire community that makes it possible. We already had Twitch Rivals last year, which, you know, was a huge event hosted by Maximilian. So, you know, and I feel like there are, you know, bigger things down the pipeline as well. I don't know if you can get much bigger than Twitch Rivals, but, you know, I know that, you know, speaking to other, you know, other TOs who are going to have events offline when it's safe to do so, maybe at the end of this year, maybe starting next year, you know, Marvel 3 is definitely in the talks of coming back to be a main game at some of these events. And then, of course, you know, there are other, you know, online events like big online events like Frosty's just happened and whatnot. So, mm-hmm. You know, and other events down the line that are also going to feature Marvel as well. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I feel like Marvel is staying alive because the entire community is coming together. You know, if I organize an event and nobody shows up to play and nobody shows up to watch, then it's absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It's the entire community that wants to keep playing the game, wants to keep watching the game. You know, so like I said, you know, I feel like I play a small part in it, but like I said, it's the community as a whole that really makes it all possible.
Absolutely. Takes many to build a house. I think that's the saying. Anyway, so actually that brings me to my next question is actually, you know, kind of off the tail end of yours. Like when we do go back to like offline and such, you know, you built such a staple avenue for people to play online. Like, is this gonna go anywhere once we go offline? Is this just gonna stay put? You're like, oh, this is to stay until the wheels fall off, kind of deal.
There's definitely going to be some evolution of the event, when it's safer to, you know, go to offline events and whatnot. And that was actually the main purpose anyway. Once we started doing this, we were like, you know what, Marvel was supposed to be big in 2020 before COVID happened, right? Marvel was going to be a main game at CEO 2020. Marvel was going to be a main game at Combo Breaker 2020. And then of course, all those events got canceled. So Marvel lost its chance to be in the limelight. And we're like, well, this is a good way to keep Marvel in the, you know, forefront, where, you know, TOs and bigger tournaments aren't going to have a choice but to host this tournament because everybody's going to want it. And, you know, that's one of the things where offline events come back. You know, maybe people won't want to play online as much anymore. But as long as they're playing somewhere, I mean, I'm going to be pretty happy. Yeah. We're still going to keep running these tournaments, but we might also do some exhibitions, or, you know, I've also, you know, talked to some people about possibly traveling to their region and hosting a tournament there on Friday. And then I go to another region maybe next month and host a tournament there on Friday. And then the other Fridays, we'll just keep doing it online. So I might go to Atlanta, might go somewhere up in New York, you know, go to Chicago, whatever, you know, Texas, and just try to keep building it, you know, as much as I can. You know, whether it's online or offline, we want to keep streaming Marvel. We want to keep showcasing Marvel to the biggest audience possible. So
we're going to be putting a couple more miles in the car on the frequent flyer miles. That's going to be the plan.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
I dig it. All right. So to kind of cap this off, because, you know, you stated earlier, you've been a TO, you've been in the mix for quite some time. Has this whole, like, taking Marvel online for, I mean, how long now has Tampa been, like, TNS been going on? Like, I think it was just early 2020, like super early 2020.
The online aspect started in March 2020. TNS has been an event. We run regionals and stuff for the last like 10 years or so. But yeah, I mean, as far as the online processes, it's just been the last year.
Have you, like, has this just entire year of taking this online, developing this, you know, adding some really cool features, like you said, like quad queue and such that you have going on, have you learned some new things? Have you grown as, like, can you say, have you grown as a TO doing this whole online spiel since?
I definitely learned a lot of things, especially in regards to streaming. You know, I have a whole new respect for, you know, the guys that come to our offline events to do streaming and things like that. You know, and there's definitely a lot of them. And I always, you know, I always wondered, man, why does it take five of you guys to run one stream? And I'm like, oh, now
it's a good reason, dog. It's a good reason. It's a lot of wires. It's a lot of damn wires to put.
But, you know, obviously I've learned a lot about stream production and things like that. And I'm still not an expert on any of that stuff yet, you know, just learning every day as much as I can. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of things I've learned. Also with online events, you know, I've primarily been an offline TO, you know, like I said, I'm used to hosting, you know, for people who actually, you know, show up physically. But, you know, I do feel like online competition really isn't going to go anywhere, even when, you know, when it's safe to have offline events again, because with, like, Guilty Gear Strive coming out soon with the great net code it has, things like that. Yeah, people are going to want to play online, and people are going to want to run those tournaments. And like I said, I'm here to try to being a part of that. So I've learned a lot about running the online tournaments for sure. But yeah, and then of course the streaming aspect, which, you know, I'm looking forward to keep going with in the future as well.
Absolutely. Any plans? I mean, you're already kind of moving on to, you're already on other games. Like I think you recently did some Dragon Ball FighterZ. Any other games you're looking to kind of introduce in? Are you going to be pulling a, you're trying to do a Strive joint when that drops? You know, it's T minus 2 months.
Yeah.
I think, right. 2 months before June. Strive comes out back in June. Yeah. So, you know, we look in, we're going to see some Tampa Never Rocks or what's up.
Yeah, we're definitely, yeah, like you said, we've been doing Dragon Ball. We don't do mm-hmm. Dragon Ball nearly as much as Marvel, of course, you know, once every 2 weeks for like the past few months now. We've done Street Fighter 4, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. We're just trying to come up with games that maybe don't have the best net code and try to provide a avenue for people to play on. But yeah, we want to get into other online games, even with good netcode like Strive. Strive, we're planning to do a weekly for as soon as it drops, and we want to kind of push that as far as we can, because after playing the beta, I'm in love with the game. I think the game is a lot of fun, and can't wait to compete in it, can't wait to run tournaments for it, and hopefully we can become the premier, you know, online weekly for that event as well. So
oh yeah, okay, cool. So first to 10 when it comes out.
Yeah,
Double Tap versus TNS. I'm down.
Let's go. Team
battle.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. I'm down. We'll do that. We'll get that. Y'all heard it here first.
Good luck fighting them with all.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what's up with that. So honestly, that really kind of caps out. Like, you know, having you on, Tong, I kind of like want to wrap it up because I want to take up too much of your time, man. The brother already runs his own business. He's got a crazy online scene that he has to deal with on top of the people that, you know, the homies that he probably helps out doing other things. On top of probably being a family man. Actually, I didn't even ask the dude if he was married or got kids or anything, but I'm assuming he's extremely busy because he never sleeps. It's in the damn name. The brother never sleeps. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. But Tong, before we let you go, man, just let the people know where they can find you. You know, throw in some plugs for the tournament, of course, to bring people in. This time is yours.
Yeah, definitely check out twitch.tv/TampaNeverSleeps. That's our channel where we stream our weekly Marvel tournaments. We have special events on there as well for other games. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitter, Tong Never Sleeps. So, and then I just want to give a big shout outs to everybody on the Tampa Never Sleeps team. You know, we have a big team of TOs, commentators who work with us, you know, week in and week out. And they put in all the work to make it all possible. So big shout outs to them.
Absolutely. All right. So once again, shout outs to the Tampa Never Sleep boys and girls, the whole crew that's there. Make sure to go check out the tournaments. You can go see, you know, Static G get his ass whooped almost every other week or something. Dude, I'm sorry, dog. You were on and I was like, oh, my boy's on. He's in the bottom right corner. I see two scrolls. I think he's losing. Yeah, you were the losing scroll. Yeah. I'm sorry, dog. Like it didn't work out for you, dog.
Yep. No, you're right. Another scroll. Every scroll player hates another scroll player. That's just how it is.
That is true. Because you got to try to out nut each other, and then like, who's going to be the first one to come from above, right? You know, who got the command grab? Oh, I did. I won. There you go. That's usually how it goes. All right. But Tom, thank you very much for the time, brother. I appreciate it. Probably won't be the last time we probably see you. Like I said, that first 10, we'll get that team. We'll get that tag team Guilty Gear joint going on for sure. But until then, thank you for the time. We appreciate it, and we'll see you around, all right?
Thank you guys so much. Pleasure being on.
All right. So with Tong stepping out, we do have a bit of a show to still continue on. We can kind of like move on from there. So we do have some updates coming up, guys. Once again, I just want to give a shout out to Tong for coming on. Really appreciate you taking time to actually do it and coming on the show. But yeah, from here, let's check out some of the updates that we got going on here on the Fighters Corner. I'm trying to get my thoughts together on it because, dude, it was really sick to talk to him. Really amazing stuff that he does. You guys should definitely go check him out. All right, so Fighters Corner. First thing on the list, we've got a new trailer. The King of Fighters has finally made her way through. I'm super stoked. I don't know if you guys had a chance to check out the trailer.
Yeah, that's my main, dude.
One of my favorite characters, too.
Since when were you a King main?
Since... Him? KOF in 98, maybe?
Yep. Okay.
Always right. My mid character.
Well, right. You know what? All right, you know what? I'm gonna give you the quiz. What is the name of her projectile?
Venom Strike.
Okay, all right, cool. That's fine. If you didn't know it on the spot, I'd be like, you're fucking fake.
Venom Strike.
I would have been like, you fake. Yeah. All right, so King got showed off. in all her Muay Thai / Venom Strike glory, among other things, because we're seeing the memes show up with her all week. She looks good. You know, it's Venom. The only thing that I think I've heard is been kind of controversial is like her super animation. I think I remember High Fight tweeting out about it. That right there, or not even the super animation. I think it was just
the final super
flip animation was
that one.
Is it
the final one super right there? Doesn't have like a cutscene. Everybody else had a whole cutscene in there.
Yeah, there we go. Scene.
Do you think they just didn't have time? That's what I'm feeling. They just didn't have time. They're just trying to pump them out, and I think this is a problem that I talked about before. Is I look. This is one of my favorite characters. I will always play King whenever I get an opportunity. Besides Benny Maru, she just looks like she's not finished as a character. Some animation's missing. It just seems very underwhelming. But I like the way she looks like she plays. I mean, she has a lot of the KOF 13. She has a lot of 98, 99 moveset. So I'm hoping they kind of keep that, but I don't know.
Well, it was kind of It was kind of generic, sort of like the Terry trailer for me. Terry's trailer was like, all right, we have Terry's regular stuff. I see she has double Venom Strike.
Terry from Smash Brothers is in this game.
Shut up. She's got that new, she got a new little overhead, but it's not really new. But a lot more of the, I do like that conversion where it showed Tornado Kick into, or EX Tornado Kick into a Tornado Kick into the Flip Kick. And most of her supers just looked quite regular from before. But this trailer made her look like, I mean, even Yuri had a cutscene in her trailer for her finisher. But my thing is, with this trailer, it makes it seem like, maybe King is a point or second character. Like a character who's not really going to be using most of your meter. You know what I mean? I don't know if you understand.
We don't even know if there's a meter for that. Like, you know, we know there's meter, but we don't know what kind of other meters they might have. Because, like, you know, they've always had max mode, stuff like that. So this might be one of those moments
dream
where...
Dream cancels.
Remember, if you start saying dream cancel, that means it's a dream game, which means we're going to get Geese and we're going to get other characters that are not from...
That's also true.
Which is... That means it's not canon, but who cares? I mean, if it's a good game, it's a good game. But right now, I'm still holding judgment. I agree with Gabe. There's some cool stuff about her this time around. She's just seemed lackluster. I think it's because we just don't have any new characters and we're seeing a lot of the same characters from previous games.
Yeah, there's nothing. The usual check boxes are showing up. You're like, okay.
I'll tell you what though, I do look forward to these announcements every week. So they shattered that expectation. Yeah.
Shatter all expectations.
And shatter the graphics expectation.
So as of right now, who usually is rocked on King's team? Who is like canon?
I'm sorry?
King. Oh, like, who's usually canon with King in her team?
Oh, goodness me. I forget. It's Art of Fighting people, isn't it? Like Ryo or no?
She likes Ryo, but are they... I cannot remember if they're usually on the same team.
So it's Art of Fighting. So it's usually Yuri, Takuma. So you might see and Robert Garcia, Ryo...
Okay.
So you might see her there.
Art of Fighting folk.
Or she might be, well, Yuri's already on a team, so we still have the option of Mai, Kasumi, Toto, Chizuru, want to see, Li Jingfei, you know, a few others. But,
and what was the Terry girl?
Mai hasn't been confirmed on a team, right? We just know she's in it.
Yeah, because she shows up against Andy and, I think she was in the original trailer for the game. Just like Leona hasn't been shown.
And Yuri's is on Terry's team now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yuri? Which is weird.
It's Andy, Yuri, and Terry.
No. Andy, Terry, and Joe. Yeah,
right? And Joe. Yeah, because so Yuri doesn't have a team yet. That's the favorite team. It will most likely be Yuri, King, and Mai.
Ryo. Or Mai. Ryo. Yeah, it could be Mai.
Yeah, it's Mai last or Ryo, honestly.
Last time it was the Terry Bogard type of girl. I forget her name.
Alice.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's his student, yes, Alice. Or whatever you want to call it.
Fangirl.
Okay. So that's the expectation. We don't know. You know, as per SNK's rules, shatter all expectations because it might not be that. But King looks good regardless. I'm stoked. I've been rocking King a bit more main since like CVS, honestly. Like in the actual like King of Fighters or Art of Fighting games, like whatever. But like I definitely was playing a lot more King when CVS dropped, and especially in CVS 2. So, and I liked her a lot in 13. I think she looks pretty good in 13.
Yeah, 13.
She's super solid.
Yeah, she's really good in 13.
The TK fireballs were super good. Pushes her back.
Tiger awesome. Knee fireball. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So with that, is actually we'll be moving on to some MK goodness, but not in a sense of like actual like news for Mortal Kombat. Outside, this is really more about the movie, and even then, it's not about. I think they had like one new trailer that showed maybe some stuff off, and now there's some talks about seeing Shao Kahn in the movie. My main thing that I'm trying to bring up is that unfortunately, MK is not coming out on the 16th as expected. We would be about little under 2 weeks out at this point, but it's actually releasing now on the 23rd of April. So one extra week, not really a big deal, but to my knowledge, it is because WB having, I'm pretty sure they're the ones own the King Kong and Godzilla movie, like that yep. whole production, and that's currently the new hotness. I think they're spreading out the box office tickets a little bit right now, so people aren't torn between what to pay or buy, because honestly, I don't even know if people are seeing things in the movies right now. I don't know what's going on with the outside world. I'm kind of just cocooned in my own
bubble. So I can actually go on more about
that. I don't even know if people are alive right now. It could be Fallout right now. Wouldn't even know it.
What's happening is HBO is kind of taking over because, you know, Warner Brothers is throwing all their stuff on HBO Max. So people are watching it on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. Yes, in theaters. But what's happening is mostly people are buying out the theaters. So they're trying to space it out probably for that a little bit more for the people who want to go to the theaters and you know, maybe pay an X amount to see it with friends and family so that, you know, it's more of COVID safety reasons. But I think, you know, that might be the reason. Plus, maybe they have to do some final cuts in the production.
It is true. It could potentially be something. Yeah, this is a digital platform. It's not like you got to get an actual film reel to a theater or something like that. It's just like, yo, here's the new MP4, dog. I just updated it. It's got that new extended ending.
Or it's got the actual song in the game.
It's got the real.
It's got the actual MK song.
Yeah, it's got the '90s song in it. Had to readjust that. We got the rights at the last second.
Right. Or it has the right get over here sound.
Yeah. It's not that bad. It's a solid. I give it the get over here a solid like.
I'm only teasing.
7.5.
My thing is
7.5 out of 10. He's a little too muffled.
You know. All right. I'm looking forward to be coming out. I mean, I think it might be. A separated from the other. Wow, that looked like a whole new graphic just to say on April 23rd instead of the 15th. Anyway, darn it, I lost my train of thought. But I think, okay, I am looking forward to it. However, I do hate that there are some sort of like news outlets that are just looking for every single detail about it. And I'm like, can we just wait for the movie to come out and see if it's coming? Like, a lot of them are talking about how, oh, Johnny Cage is not in the movie. Let's speculate how Johnny Cage is not in the movie. And I'm like, what if Johnny Cage makes a cameo in the movie and he's busy in the movie? Like, and he's busy filming a movie and not in... Like, you have to take all of these things into account. You can't just be like, the original six are not in it. I'm upset. No.
People are going to speculate, just like how we are speculating whether or not King's going to be with Yuri and Mai. You know, it's a conversation starter.
Yeah, but I think when it comes to movies or series, it's much harder to speculate because, you know, we're watching these series like week to week or even like Marvel animated series or movies. And then we get our expectations so high and then we get disappointed. You know, I'm just down to watch. Go ahead.
I'm just hoping it doesn't turn into another Scorpion backlog story. I'm done with that. Let's do something a little fresh, a little new. That's what we've been seeing, right? So give me something new.
Well, sorry, dog. This is tournament number one, so there's going to be a whole lot of those stories that we know about going to be happening. This next story, though, must have been added literally when I was not looking. So this was dropped
literally 6 hours
today.
Ago. Yes.
Yeah, about 6 hours ago, so I guess I just like missed it. So we actually have our actual list of players for the Tekken 7. We Play Esports UFL, or the Ultimate Fighting League. If you've been following it, they had just closed up on Soul Calibur. It just passed. And then before that, they had Mortal Kombat. It was about $150,000 total for this event, 50 Gs per, to my knowledge, is how that money is going. But they tend to announce their players beforehand because this is an in-person event happening out in the Ukraine. So they're flying a lot of players out. Not flying all the talent, funny enough. Or maybe talent just couldn't make it because Soul Calibur didn't have in-person talent.
So remember, we talked about Soul Calibur last time.
Oh, yeah, never mind. I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
This time around, WePlay was a little bit more forefront. And they kind of said, you know, because everybody's like, where's the North American players? Well, they said, look, you know, they addressed it. They made their statement saying, you know, we did invite them, but some due to, you know, COVID don't want to either fly or can't. So, you know, and there's, you know, restrictions. Even Nee didn't come. Even Nee was invited, but couldn't show up. Even UYU said as an org, hey, look, there was UYU players that were invited. They're choosing not to go, but, you know, we're still going to support it. So at the end of the day, I think this is going to be a good tournament regardless because Tekken has so many damn good players. There's no, everybody I see on this list, even the ones I'm not, I guess you could say familiar with, I'm sure are really good. They also have.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I do know one of the commentators is going to be Spabrog. He did get actually invited. He put that up probably about 2 or 3 days ago. So that's going to be good overall commentary. I don't know who they're going to pair with him. But nonetheless, this is just going to be a super solid tournament, especially having Super Akuma. You know, you have Arsenal Nash. You have Book.
Saint, JDCR. Yeah, like, Nash. Yeah, you got a lot of the killers out here.
Plus on a new patch. So that's even better. So we're going to see that happen on the 8th, which I'm excited to watch.
Let's go, Lydia. I'm trying to see
just,
some of that.
So this he just posted that he was in, I think it was in Kiev. JDCR. So he's already doing some traveling.
I mean, some of the overseas players are definitely making some trips and going and doing some different things. So that's good.
I think it was Instagram.
Oh, Insta. Man, so many social media outlets. All right. But this is going to be starting up on the 8th. That's going to be this Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. So sweet. Early enough for us to enjoy it. It should be live on the same channel that WePlay has been running it on. There are no restreams of it. They actually stated it down here because people are already asking if Aris was going to be restreaming it. But James Banks was quick to be like, nah, dog. No wow. English restreams. But there are restreams for other languages anyway. I mean, hey, man, you gotta keep the viewership in the right spot.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's more of the Tekken World Tour stuff he would really restream.
The one thing that... I don't want to make it seem like it's critical. It's just like I thought they were going to change the stage design for each event because like the initial stage design was like super industrial looking. It looked like it was like the subway from MK3. So it fit the Mortal Kombat game very well. It was kind of weird to see the stage design still be the same for Soul Calibur, but I don't know if they were trying to theme it, but my assumption was they were. But a lot of the industrial stuff like kind of threw me off because it was Soul Calibur, but that might have just been the theme of the entire tournament. So I just thought we were going to see some otherworldly shit because their production is just phenomenal. It's very well
done. Yeah, I look at this as like their first starting point. You know, things will only get better from here. So maybe they're going to change it up the next 2 or 3 times around, fit more of whatever the tournament is because they're doing them pretty close back to back.
Yeah, there's definitely some lessons learned, especially with the traveling and such.
Breaking news.
Someone hit the deck with that. Hold on. So you're saying they're doing it, or is it?
There's the Developer's Backyard was released just today, tomorrow. Well, today's date, which is in Japan, tomorrow.
got a backyard. We're doing this live. We got
exclusive,
a backyard.
Right?
We have a backyard. So this is as fresh as it gets.
Yep.
So we have a new Developer's Backyard here for Guilty Gear. Originally, we didn't have anything that came down for Guilty outside of the fact that, you know, we are still just gearing up towards a possible second beta. But this is a lot of the open beta survey answers. So
yes.
Which characters did you use most during the open beta? Japan had Ramlethal first, Sol second, Kai third, Giovanna fourth, and Nagori Yuki. Nago, I'm just going to keep calling Nago from now on, fifth. Asia, Sol, Ramlethal, Kai, Giovanna, Nago. The only difference there is Sol and Ramlethal changed places. NA, Ramlethal, Giovanna, Sol, Kai, Nago. Man, yo, Nago's fifth everywhere. I just noticed
the same.
South America, Giovanna, makes sense. She is Brazilian and such. Like, I'm sure those communities are going to dig that. Seoul, Ramathal, Kai, and Nago.
They're all the same.
Ram, Giovanna. Yeah, like, it's actually the same five characters, which is kind of insane. But the top, Ramathal is four out of the six. Giovanna makes, she's more average around second to 2.5, like second to almost third. Then you got a whole lot of Soul because, you know, Soul's the Ryu of the game.
Archetype.
You can play with Soul. Like, it just works. And then Kai's just the Ken of the game.
Yeah.
And Nago is just straight fifth. Straight fifth.
Yeah. I was expecting Potemkin a little bit higher up there.
Right?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I have a theory. It's because of archetypes, character archetypes. People, the grappler is always rare. The charge character, Mei, nobody, people actually don't know how to use charge characters. It's amazing. Amazing players like MJ. Doesn't like charge.
Well, it's not. Uh-huh. It's not. Yeah, it's not that they're. It's not that they don't know how. It's just, it's like the difficulty, you know, levels a little bit higher because now you're you're constantly you're partitioning charges, especially if you're doing stick versus hitbox. That's also different. It's easier on hitbox than it is on stick.
Right.
I did not notice that. But damn, now go consistently fifth.
And who else? Axel, the long reach, which nobody wants to play. Who else? And now Ramlathal is.
I think Axel's good.
I feel like people are playing him a lot more.
Ramlathal is. Ramlathal is not charge.
No, right? Okay, so then you have the Soul Kai archetype.
She's got Rekka's Giovanna,
and then Giovanna being new.
New rush down,
simple moves.
New character to the game. You know, like she is the epitome of what the system's supposed to be like, what they're designing it for. So. Clearly being used.
And then Oceana, you have Chip, who's execution heavy, and Faust, who is the weird character nobody wants to use either.
But he's been, Faust players are not happy with how Faust is playing. Nope. Right now,
I'm not surprised. And then there's Zato or Eddie, either one.
Another hard
nobody's really playing him right now because I feel like there wasn't enough time.
He was also kind of busted.
He's got layers. He's got layers for sure. So yeah, that also might be gauging just because of the cast, right? It's pretty, it's kind of small, it's pretty standard, but it's also kind of missing. Like nobody was rocking Chip when people found out Chip was like getting counter hitted to death, and you can Beta Blade hurt him with that, like or is it Gamma Blade? I can't remember
what
actually grips you.
I don't remember.
Yeah, like he takes that damage anyway, as if you punched them. So that sucks. So who wants to deal with that?
Yeah.
Once again, it was the open beta. We had the new hotness. Ramlathal was basically a new character. She doesn't play the same as she used to. Giovanna's new. Nago's new. And then you got the two old reliables of Kai and Soul. That's really all that I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, true. Which characters do you like most in GGST? Why did everybody say Ramlathal?
Wow. Why is everybody about Ramlathal?
She's the easiest to play. I think she's the biggest rewarding next to Soul.
No, I have seen some casuals say they liked Ramlathal. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
Giovanna, solid second. Mm-hmm. North America, South America, EU, and Oceania. Asia and Japan went for Seoul. I guess Seoul's pretty cool. Giovanna was fifth in Asia, which that's interesting. Mei makes a stop on fourth in Japan. So there's that. But that's interesting. Wow, I cannot believe Ramathal would be that popular. Giovanna, popular outside of Asia. Yeah, sounds about right.
Oh my god.
All right. So then they kind of break down
a little further ahead.
We're not looking into I'm not going into super detail as to what they're writing below. You guys can go check this out. This is on the guiltygear.com website. Just look for the developer backyard number 5. The ratings for each mode that we had, of course, we had versus, tutorial, network online, network quick match, and training. Versus mode outright above 60% on very good. That's solid. Tutorial looks pretty outside average. Of people saying bad or very bad. It's pretty average. Like it's pretty divided. It's almost 20%, 40%. It's about like over 60%. We had about a 20 something odd percentage in average. 20% for good, almost a little under 20, maybe 15% for very good. Network mode, online lobby. Very different, very more skewed to the left, where the average of good is less than 39% or almost 41%, excuse me. That means the majority did not like the online lobby. That is a over 50%, that is definitely 60 something percent, like 67% or something like that, that did not like the online.
They didn't like the online aspects, not the online gameplay.
The online lobby mode. Yeah, so let's be real. Network mode, quick match, as in, you know, get in, waiting for your opponent.
Hassle.
Way more the other way. There was barely anyone that said it was bad or very bad.
Oh.
I cannot even remember if you can get into training mode while you're waiting for an opponent. I think
yes,
you can.
Yes, you can. Plenty
that of was time. One of my big things. Like, I was able to get that, I was like, yeah, I'm good. I do remember now. Training mode, people liked it. I think the only way that this training mode could make it all the way to the end, like 100%, like blue, give us the replay that Accent Core Plus R has, put it in this game. Training mode would be perfect, I think.
And
the training mode would be perfect.
Isn't it? And was it only Street Fighter Cross Tekken that had online training mode? I think that's right, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, yeah. So online training mode would actually be amazing, I think. Like, that should be brought back. Just thinking out loud.
So real quick, before we, let me see what else we got going on, actually. I'm not going to go through all the details because I still got to read all this, but the following was like the aspects of the game, how people like certain parts or didn't like certain parts. Character visuals was a high percentage of very like, character animations was very high. Stage graphics kind of skewed a little bit, but still more in the, you know, they like it range around start. The windscreen visuals, basically the outros and such, seemed to dig it. That all worked out just fine. What else we got? Visual direction of the camera movements, liked. It's a little skewed, but I think that goes more towards things like people complaining about the wall, probably like the movement, maybe even dust. Like the air dust stuff was kind of like throwing me off. I don't know what it was about it, but like wasn't feeling it as much.
Yeah, I didn't
like it warmed up to it, but like initially I was just kind of like,
yeah, how do I do this?
I don't know about that.
How do I do this?
Yeah, it did not feel right. So might not be the only person in that camp. Going that route, let me see. We have the battle system. Generally liked it. Background music, pretty good. Over 60%, like about 65% on very good. Voices, everything. So predominantly, people liked the game.
Oh, yeah.
People liked what we saw in the beta. That's, they do talk about damage being too high. Let's actually take a look at this. This is one of the hot topics. So many players commented that damage is way too high. Myself included. I definitely dropped that in there. There are also many concerned that this is not a problem. This is not just a problem with the game's balance, but also takes away from the fun of pulling off damaging combos. Basically, damage is so high. How can I express myself in a sick combo if my opponent's already dead? How do you have weak life? I can't style on you. That is a travesty. We need this fixed. Please, Daisuke, help us. That's basically what that means. So after hearing your feedback, we plan to adjust the damage so that it's more suitable for how often and how difficult it is to land each attack. In general, however, the damage will remain high as it is part of the Guilty Gear Strive's design, okay? It could be said that part of the appeal of Guilty Gear series is the tension and exhilarating felt during the fast-paced matches. In previous titles, however, players could only experience this after practicing and learning complicated combos. The length of the average combo is much shorter in Strive, so that more players than before can experience this. This is why overall damage is set to high, including single hits. There are other elements influenced by this direction, such as our reconsideration of frequency of combos in general. We've analyzed many replays from the beta test and feel that the game mechanics are overall successful. We're adjusting the game so that simple combos and situational combos have their own merits, not just limited to damage, but also in terms of meter efficiency and the situation you're in after the combo. Cool. Sounds like they're not going to adjust it to like rev levels of like damage, right? Where it's like super scaled down. And I get the intention. I like they're like, you know, that's the point, right? It's the fast paced matches, but you can only really deal with that in like games like Rev 2 and such when you know the super long combo, right? Like you unless you knew that combo, you weren't doing that damage. Here they're dropping that where it's you don't have to go for that crazy long combo, but you still get that damage. So it kind of evens the field and lets more players kind of sit in and actually you know, get that feeling which that they want to give to everyone, which is pretty cool. Let me see. Roman cancels are interesting, but I felt limited by meter use. check that out. Jumping is too strong. And then they talk about getting rid of infinites.
That's not a huge issue. I mean, they were hard to do.
Yeah, infinites was very specific. I know Giovanna had one early on. It was like, it's simple to do, but it's kind of like a very unique take on it to do it.
It was Zato
definitely had one.
Yeah.
We are some characters had access to infinite combos. There are notable instances of oversimplified combo structures. We are planning to deal with this by adjusting the game mechanics in addition to the character balance, so these combos won't end up as the most viable option. Sounds like they're probably going to stay, but they're probably not going to be good. Like, it's the whole idea of like trying to do a Dante infinite. Like, Dante does so many hits in Marvel. He scales and it takes forever. Like, you will die of boredom or being tense over like game one if you did an infinite than your opponent will. Like, you're probably doing yourself more harm because of the amount of focus you'd have to do to get that going. Especially if you drop it too. Like, it's really bad. There's definitely more details. Like I said, Roman cancels and jumping being too strong. We're going to take a look at that and then we'll re-up on this next week for it.
Yes.
But then overall, online battles.
Look at the bottom of your screen. About the second open beta test. Yes. Ooh. So that's coming
too. Everyone liked online battle. So let me see. We are planning a second open beta test. Yes. Praise be to Daisuke. Thank you. let me see.
Exciting.
Please look forward to June 11th, of course. Yeah. So looks like there we go. We got the confirmation. Second beta is happening. Hopefully it will have the adjustments that they're talking about here. It might not. There's a chance it might not. But we will just have to wait and see as to their following announcement for it. Maybe when they announce the beta, they also announce potentially one DLC character, the closer we get to it. Because they have to build up the hype. Like, the game right now has kind of just been put on a back burner because it was supposed to come out this week. Right? Yeah, it was actually T-minus 4 days before this game was supposed to come out. No one's been talking about it. That's what happens when you delay a game. Having a second beta, especially if you're going to apply some of these changes, will bring that hype right back up and give people the reason why they were like, oh my God, why am I so addicted to Guilty Gear? Get those
posts. And they mentioned
the
rematch button. So.
Oh, did they? I did not even get a chance to
somewhere
see that.
Somewhere in there.
All right, we're going to take a look at this until, you know, and like I said, further dive on it next week. But we want to give you guys the initial hit. You heard it here first. Fresh out the oven. Daisuke answered our prayers. If you guys, just a quick disclaimer, if you guys are wondering if you're not hearing Meza actually had to jump out the show. Hopefully everything is all good. He will be back next week for show. But we will be holding it down here. Last couple of tidbits we got. Street Fighter V. Speaking of updates, Street Fighter V spring update is literally tomorrow, or if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast platform of choice, it's today. It's going to be happening on the at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Nope.
6 o'clock. Pacific. Oh, excuse six me. 3 o'clock Pacific Eastern, Time. Eastern EDT time. So, you know, early, nice and early, can check it out.
Yep.
We're hoping to see, we already saw the Rose breakdown. So we should be seeing Oro. They already tweeted out like a little
photo.
Picture in-game photo of Oro somewhere. His eyes just peering. Those eyes, I got mad bags underneath them. Yeah, that one right there. Yeah, looking at him.
He got a turtle
but
on his
hopefully,
head.
Hopefully. He still has, he's got the turtle on his head. Hopefully, after the breakdown of the Nomadic Hermit, as they call him on that tweet, we will get a sneak peek at Akira. This is the last character we're waiting on. If they're going to give her the same treatment as Oro, where we got to see Oro at the end of the Rose breakdown, we will hopefully get to see Akira here. At least some sort of idea as to what she's going to look like. So, if you haven't had a chance, or if you forgot and are listening to us, remember, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. Go check it out. It's going to be on the Capcom Fighters Twitch page. Oh, man. I am hoping for some Akira action after this.
Yeah, that'd be hype. Or at least even a tease of the final character.
All right. So I think with the time that we have allotted right now, we have one segment that I want to bring up. We've got things in randoms that we'll bring up next week. But one thing I definitely want to bring up, though, is something to you guys, really, the community, is haven't done it in a while, figured it'd be a good time to do it now, is this has kind of been in my mind for a bit, and now, especially having Tong on here, and we were talking about character archetypes and stuff, I thought it was a really interesting question that I wanted to give you guys, is this. with as many fighting games that we play, different systems, different mechanics, the one thing that is consistent, which is going to sound weird, is the different types of archetypes in fighting games. To break it down, we've got, let me see, I have the list here. We've got our standard characters that, you know, they just have a couple buttons. They do some. They're pretty linear, right? You can't expand a whole lot on their gameplay because they're very honest. That's kind of like the word I get thrown around, an honest character. You have your rushdown characters. You have your mix-up characters, zoners, trap characters, you know, characters that are placing things all over the place that, you know, will affect that. That is part of their game plan. Puppet characters like your Zatos that have a mechanic where they're controlling something else on screen that is, you know, part of their character, but isn't at the same time. They're like independent, so they can press a button and then this other character can also do something. You have your grapplers, you're kind of your half-breed grapplers that I kind of am a grappler, but I'm kind of not, kind of like your Alexes or your Abels and such.
Rose, Honda.
Kind of, yeah. Then you have your stance characters, your stacks characters, your characters that need to stack something in their mechanics, in their kit to kind of make them full, kind of like your jams, right?
G.
Or your G's, or what's the homegirl from Blaze with the stick?
She stacks up?
Doesn't she stack, or am I thinking Lychee?
Lychee does not. I don't think
I might be wrong. She kind of falls, I think, more towards stance because, or kind of puppety because she puts the staff down and it does something differently. When
is it?
I forget. I thought she had stacks. I could be incorrect. Oh, man. Then you have
is it Makoto?
Makoto does. I think Bullet stacks. Bullet, as
that's
well.
The one. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bullet stacks. Bullet,
yep.
And then there's your reload characters. Your characters that have like an ammunition or something.
Noelle.
Your Noelle's, your Deadshots, your Green Arrows, your Hawkeyes. You know, they all load up in some way. Hawkeye doesn't load up in Marvel 3. He has different command moves that allow him to do that. So I know I just went through a whole list. My question to you guys, to the community, is what are the archetypes that you just hate? The ones that you just really, really don't want to deal with. I have met people that love a bunch of different archetypes. There are some that I absolutely hate some. Like, hate grapplers. Like, don't want to be near them. Don't want them touching you. You don't want grapplers near you anyway.
Yeah.
Hate the idea of the super big reward they get for churning the butter or something.
Yeah. If you want a good example, think of the Tekken guest characters. They have meter. A lot of top players hate Akuma, hate Geese. They hate, is it Eliza?
Eliza also has meter. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I want to hear from you guys. That's my community question that I want to hear some answers from, whether it's going to be on our Discord or on Twitter, because we're going to review it for next week. But what fighting game archetypes do you just not like? And bonus points to why. Oh, excuse me. Tell me why, but bonus points to give me a character as to why. So I know what character you're talking about so we can reference that. I want to leave it on that. That's going to be the end of the show this week. Once again, I want to give a big thanks to Tong for coming out, taking the time to sit down. You know, the work that he does is super. I think it's very super important. I think it couldn't have come in a better time for a lot of people to enjoy Marvel. To kind of, you know, it was geared to do a lot of good things in 2020, but you know, 2020 had other plans. But he was just like, nah, you know what? We're still going to make something happen, and he's clearly growing. So make sure to go check out Tampa Never Sleeps on Twitch. Go check him. Go watch the tournaments. Go follow him at Tong Never Sleeps as well. So shout out to you, homie, for coming through.
Yeah, and also I think we should have asked regarding how to enter. If you are interested, definitely go follow him on Twitter. Send him either a DM or something, or even a tweet, and say you're interested, and probably get the Discord link from there. That's definitely one of the ways.
Just tell him you heard about it from Double Tap. You'll know what to do. That's going to do it for this episode, guys. Make sure to follow us, not just Tong. Make sure to follow us. You can follow me at CrashTagVS. You can follow Static Gorilla at Static Gorilla. Of course, follow Meza at MezaFGC on Twitch, on Twitter. Boys Live, so is Static G. They're both live on their channels. Make sure to follow Mash Those Buttons at The Mash Network to check out our other shows, of course, that we have going on. You know, a little bit of Apex, a little bit of some Overwatch. You got some Final Fantasy you want to dig into. Or if you're one of my Warcraft heads, go check that out as well. Got a show for all of y'all. You guys can join, especially if you want to talk about the community question. If you want to spill the beans as to why this archetype gets you salty, make sure to join us at mash.gg/discord. You can see a little double tap section there. Get a nice little flare. Of course, you'll get notifications. We tend to throw up, you know, articles, things that we want to talk about there live as soon as it happens. And sometimes we'll take those conversations, bring them to the show because, you know, that's the whole point of the show, right? Let's make a conversation happen. You guys can, of course, share the show. It supports a whole lot. When we actually make it go live, we let it go on Twitter with it. And post up, by the way, double tap FGC on Twitter, if I didn't say that already. We post it up on Mash Those Buttons as well. I'm sharing the show, tagging anyone that, you know, feel like might enjoy the show, might have some things they want to talk about. Maybe they got a good point as to why they don't like a certain archetype. Make sure to tag them when the show goes live so they can check it out, of course. It helps out supporting the show when we get more ears on it. And it makes us feel really, really good when you do it. Also, rating and reviewing the show helps out a whole lot. Whatever podcast platform you're on, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, whatever it is, rating the show, giving us some feedback is extremely useful because it lets us know what we're doing right so we can keep doing it, and what we're doing wrong so we can, you know, kind of learn and fix up that matchup for a later date. Yeah, but that's really going to do it for us, guys. We appreciate you guys hanging out for another week of Double Tap. Make sure to check us out next week. Like I said, we're going to dive into more of that Guilty Gear stuff as well as some of the things we had in the random section. We'll be live next week on the Mash Those Buttons Twitch. Mash Those Buttons. It's pretty easy to remember. And, of course, we'll be live next week on around 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And the episode will be live on Tuesday. So once again, shout-outs to Tong for coming on. Thanks for everyone that came through to hang out and listen. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.